Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. All creation waits is our Advent theme this year, and hopefully you've been following along in our daily devotional. We have printed copies available here at the church, or you can download a copy on our website, or you can wait every day. The daily devotion is dropped on our socials, for those of you who understand that language. And today, as Mr. Justin said, is the second Sunday of Advent, which begins the second week of Advent. So we are focusing upon the second of the four elements of nature or creation. Last week, we read about and I preached about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were thrown into the fiery pit. So our theme last week was fire, right? Four elements of creation. You following me? All right. So today we read about the valley of dry bones and the wind that blew through the valley over those bones. So today our element is wind. All right. So there's four. So we're about that halfway point. So like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego last week, Ezekiel lived in Jerusalem before Jerusalem was conquered by the Babylonians and during that time of conquest when the Babylonians overthrew Israel. And as a result, Ezekiel being a religious leader at the time, he was one of the first people who would have been taken into exile, would have been taken out of Jerusalem and brought to Babylon. And as I mentioned last week, this was a very dark time for the Israelites. You can imagine they had been conquered, many of their homes destroyed, many of their leaders taken out of Jerusalem and taken to Babylon, and to top it all off, their temple had been destroyed. So they were beginning to lack hope because it was difficult to imagine a future in which their past glory might someday be restored. Everything seemed bleak. And then we read that the hand of the Lord came upon Ezekiel and he brought a vision of hope for a new future where the Israelites would return back to the land of Israel. Now the Lord brought Ezekiel out to a place that appeared to lack hope, to this valley full of bones. And the Spirit led Ezekiel all around the valley so that he could see all of these bones. He could see how many of them there were. He could see how dry they were. And you know, a dry bone is a lifeless bone. A dry bone is a bone that's been dead for a long time so that all of the skin and the flesh and the sinews have disappeared. And while he's there in the valley among these dry bones, the Lord refers to Ezekiel as mortal, as if he needed a reminder that he was mortal, standing among all of these bones. And then the Lord asks Ezekiel, can these dead, dry bones live? Ezekiel answered, probably like many of us would, God knows. How would I know? Doesn't seem like it. So the Lord told Ezekiel to prophesy to these bones. Now the prophecies that we read about in the Old Testament do not necessarily just predict the future. We think of prophecies as being about what is going to happen, but prophets actually spoke for the Lord. They were given a word from God to deliver to the people. To borrow the Blues Brothers term, they were messengers for God, right? And so these prophets, not the Blues Brothers, these prophets are sent out to reveal things for God on God's behalf. And sometimes they may have been things that were going to happen in the future. Maybe letting the people know that a child will be born, and maybe letting them know about a pending drought or time of famine. But other times what the prophets did was to deliver words of correction or instruction. And in our reading today, we have words of instruction when the Lord told Ezekiel to say to those bones, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And then he said three things to them. First thing he said was to command those bones to come together so that God could lay sinews upon them and cause flesh to come upon them and then cover them with skin. Now, this would have been the exact opposite of what would have happened when they decayed and all of that matter would have disappeared and come off of them. Then the Lord told Ezekiel to prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds. And he continues on. When he tells Ezekiel to command the four winds, his breath to come upon these dry bones, it's reminiscent of what we read in the creation story in Genesis. Anybody familiar with the creation story in Genesis? When the Lord God created the man, Adam, which the Hebrew word is Adama, which means literally of the earth. Man, Adam, Adama means of the earth. For the Lord God formed a man from the dry earth, the first human. And the Lord God, we read, breathed the breath of life into the man that was created from the dry earth. And the word that is referred to as breath in Genesis for the creation account is the same word that we encounter here in Ezekiel, and that Hebrew word is ruach. You got to get the ruach, R-U-A-H, but you got to get the. It's not like an English H. It's not exactly a snort, Katie. It's a. It's not that. It's ruach. All right. But see, this word that's translated as wind can also be translated as breath and can also be translated as spirit. And it is throughout our reading and it is throughout the Old Testament. So when the Lord blows the breath of life into Adam, the Lord is filling him with his very spirit. And the same is true of the dry bones in the valley, having formed them into people with sinews and flesh and skin. The Lord gathered his spirit, the same spirit or wind that blew at creation, that blew over the waters of creation, that blew breath into Adam, is now being blown over these bodies that have been formed in order that they might live. And we read that they came alive. In fact, they stood on their feet and they created a vast multitude. These people, the Lord said to Ezekiel, are the house of Israel. These are the people of God who had been torn from their homes in Jerusalem, the people whom he intended to give hope to. You see, they had been essentially dead, hopeless in Babylon, hopeless having seen so much destruction, and now God was bringing them hope. And he gives them this promise that the Lord will bring them back from the dead, that the Lord will bring them back to the house of Israel. And we know that God did that. For less than 50 years after the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem and overthrew Judah, the Syrians or Persians came, King Cyrus came, and they conquered the Babylonians. And Persian King Cyrus allowed the Israelites to return to Jerusalem. And many of them did, less than 50 years later. And one of the first things they did was to begin to rebuild the temple, which they did bigger and better than it had been before. Now, this promise of hope and new life that Ezekiel delivered to the exiles in Babylon was fulfilled there in the 6th century BCE. But that doesn't mean that this prophecy and these words of hope don't have meaning for us today. For they do. They do as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus. You see, we are reminded that Jesus was born into the world at a time when there was discord, when things seemed bleak, when the Jews themselves did not get along. There were some of the Jews who didn't believe in the resurrection and others who did. There were some who aligned themselves with the Roman Empire and others who did not. You see, the emperor considered himself to be a god and required the people to worship him as a god, and some of the Jews went along with that, and others of them did not. It was a dark time for the people of God, and many lacked hope. Their faith was dry as they struggled to see God. Such was the world that Jesus was born into, but then he came as hope. Hope to the hopeless. And we all know that after he was crucified, Jesus himself was left for dead. But that's not how he stayed, for Jesus was raised from the grave just as God had promised to do to the house of Israel. He You see, this prophecy of hope and new life was fulfilled not just once for Israel, not just a second time with Jesus, but it continues to be fulfilled in us today. So it's appropriate that as we prepare to celebrate Jesus' birth, that we would reflect upon this Old Testament promise to a people who had lost all hope and to whom it appeared as though only death existed. Like Ezekiel, who was sent into the Valley of Dried Bones, Jesus was sent into the world with a message of hope and new life. Not a assurance that there will be a restoration of life as they once knew it. The Israelites didn't go back to Jerusalem and just resume where they left off like they'd hit pause. But they came back to a new life that they had been given. And by this power of the Holy Spirit, they lived into that new life as each of us are intended to do with our lives, having been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, God is the God of all creation. And God is continuing to create and to recreate and to bring things and people to life. This Advent, we actively wait and prepare to celebrate that God has already brought us new life through Christ. And Mr. Justin talked about it with the kids. This isn't, however, a once and done type of deal, for God continues to breathe God's breath, God's spirit, into us, into our lives in order that we might live our lives in relationship with God. And God meets us in our lives, in those dark, hopeless places, in those fiery furnaces that we find ourselves in. God brings us life, hope, the assurance that this is not all that there is. So this Advent season, we wait with all of creation, not just to celebrate Jesus' birth, but we wait for his promised return. We wait with the assurance and hope that comes from knowing that the God of Judah, the God who breathed new life into Israel, is our same God. And that God is not done creating. God is not done resurrecting God's creation from the dead. God is not done loving us and breathing life into each and every one of us. This afternoon, we will gather for the Blue Christmas service. After this service, there'll be a light lunch, and the service is at 1:30. And that service is set aside as a time to lament and acknowledge the pain, the suffering, the fiery furnaces, the death we may have experienced recently. And just as God sent a word of hope to the exiles through Ezekiel's prophet, God has sent a word of hope to us, the Word made flesh, who offers us hope through his death and resurrection. So even when it appears as though all is dry and lost and dead, there is hope, my friends, hope in the life-giving breath of God. The one who said to the exiles in our reading, "I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place on you on your own soil, that you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act." God is still acting today. God is breathing the breath of life into creation today. Inhale. Receive that spirit, my friends, as we await his second coming and as we await the celebration of his son's birth. Amen.